This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dr. Michael Osterholm is with us as we come back on this Thursday afternoon. He is the director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the U of M. And in early November, he was named a member of President Joe Biden's COVID-19 advisory board. And Mike is with us. Mike, a lot of items for you. The last, I'd say, 18 hours or so, numerous members of the Biden team are telling folks that this administration is inheriting a non-existent COVID vaccine distribution plan. Can you affirm that?
Yes, I can.
How is this possible?
Well, I think it's what we've been discussing for weeks. You know, I did a podcast almost 6 weeks ago that was entitled The Last Mile and the Last Inch, where I laid out the fact that such plans didn't exist and that our concern was how were we going to do that at the local and state level when particularly we had very little resources or personnel to do it. And I think that it is a situation where, you know, we knew this was coming. We knew that the efforts on Operation Warp Speed to get these vaccines researched, developed, to get them in a place where they could be authorized for use, to get them manufactured was simply outstanding. You know, that was truly a major accomplishment by the administration. However, they did not at all consider the last mile, the last inch, the fact that a vaccine is just a vaccine until it becomes a vaccination. And we recognize that. I used the analogy back then about a bridge that, you know, a beautiful, wonderful bridge that covers this, crosses this big gorge until it gets to the last 20 foot, and there weren't enough dollars left to finish building it. And in this case, there just wasn't the attention paid to how are we going to get these vaccines into people. And so that is the legacy that was inherited by the incoming administration.
So when Alex Azar and others were talking about for weeks after the information came out about Warp Speed, and you're right, tremendous information, how they were set up to help and telling us about how they were going to work with the states, there was really no basis of an apparatus to back up what they were saying.
Yeah, I mean, it was even to the point of, I will have to say, and I say this very, very carefully, and I know there'll be some listeners who'll be very angry at me, but the truth is the truth. When Secretary Azar said a week and a half ago that we now needed to recommend vaccinations for everyone over age 65, and all of those between the ages of 21 and 65 who had underlying health conditions, that latter group is 81 million people, 160 million doses of vaccine. And it implied that this somehow was in reserve or ready to be let go. And he said, you know, we're going to, you know, open up all of our stocks of vaccine. Now, it's coming out. We're not going to save second doses. Number one, there were no second doses that existed. Number two is he had to know that adding 81 million people to the recommended list of people to get vaccine now was impossible. And what it did was almost as if somehow just to dump this in the lap of the incoming administration to then now you handle it. You know, this is what the consumers are expecting. And there are a lot of angry consumers, and appropriately so. You know, the information they got said that you should be able to get your vaccine right now. And there wasn't anywhere near enough vaccine. And they knew that. And that information was a revelation to the incoming administration. And again, I'm just calling balls and strikes. This isn't a partisan issue. I mean, we were all surprised. I mean, I was quoted in the Washington Post at that time, very much saying, this is absolutely impossible for someone to say this and not know what they were doing.
Well, Mike, they just were lying, right? When they're telling us that we can have vaccines by the end of December, 20 million, January, 50 million, February, 100 million. And then, as you said, they included, you know, tens of millions of others. They knew this wasn't there. People should be infuriated by this. So now,
well,
that
I
okay,
am.
Expand on it. Yeah, I can hear. I am too. I think everybody should, even if you supported the president. Come on. That we want our new normal back, and that path, we're led down that path by the vaccine. So because of this, how soon can you put a structure together that works with the federal government, works with the states, works with these companies, and so we have some efficiency and we start making serious progress regarding getting the vaccines in more people's arms?
Well, there's two factors here that have to be understood. First of all, you have to make the vaccine and get it out there. Second of all, you have to have the system to get it out there. Let's do with the second one, because this has been really misunderstood by the public and the media, and I understand why. It's not like somehow they just made it out of thin cloth. But we talk about the number of doses distributed, and we talk about the number of doses administered. And when you look at the difference between the two of those, sometimes it's 50% or more difference. And you say, why are they so incompetent not getting vaccines out? Well, the story is not that at all. It turns out that Operation Warp Speed will put out on Tuesday morning and say, your state can have this much vaccine. Order, how much do you want to order? You put your order in, okay, to get it, and they will ship it. And you may not get it for another week or more. And once the order goes in, it says it's been distributed to you. So here we sit in Minnesota saying we've got all these doses of vaccine. We never have. We never had them. They hadn't arrived yet. And then on the other side of the ledger is the fact that when you say how many doses were actually administered, it turns out that with the system we have right now for recording doses, that in many instances, it took 2 or 3 days to get the appropriate data into the information provided back. So it would always be short the actual number of doses that actually had been given. So even there, that one was a system issue where it wasn't nearly as bad. States need the vaccine now. We can give it. We're ready to give it. We need it. But then this first part about the vaccine itself is a real challenge right now, because we don't know literally from day to day, week to week, how much vaccine is coming. One of the things that this new administration is going to do is work to be as transparent as possible so everybody knows, the public knows, the states know how much vaccine is out there, how much can you expect, and when can you expect it. There's nothing more disheartening, particularly to the many people who have spent hours and hours on phones, on computers, trying to get an appointment, only to find out it gets canceled 2 days before you're supposed to get it. Why? Because it turned out the vaccine that was supposed to be there for that suddenly didn't materialize. So that's also added to the frustration that the public is genuinely feeling, and they should. So, you know, we just need transparency. We need understanding of how to increase vaccine production as much as possible, how to get it out here as quickly as possible, and most of all, be transparent. Show everything. That'll help people understand where we're at.
Dr. Michael Ostrom is with us. Okay, for a while, people would joke about this, Mike. Now it's moved to the point where Amazon itself has said, we're raising our hand. We know how to distribute packages every day, millions and millions. Could an Amazon play a role in getting these vaccines out? Or is your last explanation in some way saying that's not the most pressing issue right now?
Yeah, that is not the pressing issue. Once the vaccines are shipped, they can get here. Okay, and that's not a problem. I mean, the current methods of moving the vaccine are working fine. Amazon doesn't have the ability to actually, you know, provide the vaccines in a coordinated manner. You know, one of the things the state and local health departments do, and our state health department is really good at this, so they've taken a lot of heat lately, unfortunately. But once it's here, they are like air traffic control. Is it the community clinic that gives it out? Is it the medical center? Is it the local health department? Is it a workplace situation? You know, how are we going to get the vaccines out in the most effective way? You know, how do you reach this population? I mean, one of the examples of a challenge we had early on, CVS and Walgreens had the contract from the Trump administration to vaccinate all the residents of long-term care facilities and their workers. And that was greatly delayed. They were not ready to go. But so in a state like Minnesota, the vaccine had been allocated to them, so it showed up on our distribution list, even though they had it, and it was they, the ones who were supposed to be doing the vaccination, their way behind that. So again, had we had control of that, I think we could, as a state, we could have done a much better job, and much more quickly. So just please have patience with your state health department. They're not screwing up. They really are not. They're a shock absorber right now, taking hits from four or five different directions. And what they will do is they will coordinate with our communities. You know, just remember this for people who, you know, have some memory. You know, back in the 1990s, there was a large outbreak of meningitis in Mankato, Minnesota. You know, and I was led the investigation on that and the follow-up. You know, on a Wednesday morning, we had no idea that this was happening. By Sunday afternoon, we had vaccinated 30,000 people in Mankato. That's what health departments know how to do. And there were lots of people that contributed to that. National Guard helped with logistics. You know, we had the coordinated issues of emergency response. We had volunteer healthcare workers. We had retired healthcare workers that were available. And so I think that's what people have to allow the health departments to do. But they can't do it if they don't have vaccine. So that's where you want to hold the accountability. Don't hold this administration accountable for vaccine for the immediate short term, because nothing they can do right now will produce more vaccine today. Over the course of the next weeks, then it will be different. And then you hold them accountable for the same vaccine. So I think
At what point, you know, we have this debate when presidents change and it's someone's economy, it's someone's this. At what point, if mistakes are still happening or if success is happening, is this because of Joe Biden compared to it's still residual effect, sometimes positive, sometimes negative, from the Donald Trump administration?
Well, first of all, from an accountability standpoint, meaning that just transparency, that should start happening very soon. Okay, just how many doses are there? Where are they going? How much? All of that will start to change. The ability to tell the community about these vaccines will start to change, meaning they'll actually hear what does Operation Warp Speed mean, which that name, of course, is changing, so which is a good thing, I think. But also just, you know, what are these vaccines all about? The manufacturing issues, I can't comment on right now because, you know, it's the difference between doing a car wash and building a new car. You know, it takes a lot of extra effort and machinery and private sector expertise to make more vaccines. But I can tell you that there is the utmost in prioritization right now by the incoming administration to get as much vaccine out as quickly as possible. And so I, in future shows, will be give you, I'd be happy to give you more information as we get it, just how quickly that accountability should take place. Because I agree with you 100%. I mean, there's a point where you got to transfer it. You know, you can't say for 4 years it was the previous administration's fault. And that's not the case. There will be an accountability, and I think it'll come relatively soon. But I don't know what that date is right now.
Last thing, and I'll let you go. When you were with us last week, you certainly made some news when you said, because of these variants that are coming right now, and because of the circumstances associated with this time of year and people mainly inside, that you're worried that the next 6 to 8 weeks could be as dangerous as any time we've seen during this. I've also read a couple different studies recently suggesting that some of these variants and the vaccines may not match up with them. Does that give you pause?
It does. And, you know, I think just to be fair on the dates, I may have said 6 to 8 weeks for it to start, but what I meant is I think 6 to 14 weeks for the duration. I think there's one particular variant, this mutated virus that originated in the United Kingdom. It's now seen in a number of countries in Europe. We surely have seen it here. Minnesota actually has the first documented isolate of it from someone in December. I think it's in most states. This is the one that really has been tied to increased transmission capability. It's being transmitted the same way. Now, you know, in other words, it's still breathing air. Don't swap air, but it's a much higher infectiousness. I think if we're going to see the impact of that begin to really change, it's going to start in the next probably 6 weeks. We'll start to see that go up. If it does, it could go up very quickly. And that's what it's done in other countries. It's kind of lounged around for a few weeks to a few months, and then all of a sudden, boom, it takes off like a wildfire. That's my concern. Now, the second concern you raised is variants that have come from South Africa and Brazil. And these are ones where the mutation actually impacts how well the antibody that is induced by a vaccine or from the plasma therapy, the recovered antibody from patients who have had the disease and recovered that is given to help patients who currently have the disease. There we have evidence, at least in individuals who recovered from COVID-19 and the plasma, that there is surely an impact on how well that antibody works. It's less clear about vaccine itself. There's work going on right now. I can tell you the companies are taking this very seriously, and they are already working on what we call new constructs, new versions of the old vaccine that would help alleviate some of that change, much like we do with flu vaccines from year to year. But this is going to be an ever-changing, ever-learning experience. You know, I've said it to you before on this show, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. There are days I should start every one of these interviews with a disclosure that says I know less about this virus today than I did 6 weeks ago. We're learning all the time. And this virus is teaching us a lot right now about what it can do that we have to be able to respond to.
Great stuff, Mike. Thank you so much. I know you're extraordinarily busy, so I really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks. Take care, Chad.
Dr. Michael Ostrom. I want you to react to what he had to say. I think people should be furious that the new administration is inheriting no plan. No plan. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. How can you defend that? You can't. I'm sure some can. Try. And others, you want to express your frustration, let me know through a text. 651-989-9226. At home. Working this way, like a lot of you, not every one of you, certainly, but many of us working at home at this point, when a year ago we were not. So you want to rely on, when I'm looking outside right now and that wind is kicking up, we're going to drop down to zero tonight. You want to make sure that furnace is working. K&S Heating and Air, they know this time of year, January, February into March, people aren't buying a lot of furnaces or buying air conditioning. They also know so many people financially are in difficult positions because of the pandemic, because of the economy. That's why they're offering what seemingly is a deal of the year. You can get a high-efficiency Lennox furnace for under $2,300. How do they do this? They partner the Lennox furnace with the matching air conditioner, and thus you get the furnace for $2,295. You need all the details and all the information. It's a great company, good people, 33 years in business. Call them, 952-697-4388, talking about K&S Heating and Air, or online, ksheating.com. It is amazing how some will just stay on brand. Here you have a doctor who, by the way, earlier in the Trump administration, he worked with that administration. They used him. They consulted with him. He's worked with Democrats and Republicans and independents as governors. He's traveled the world trying to do one thing, help people. But so many people are so bleeping narrow-minded and they're so bitter that their candidate lost. By the way, he won. He was president for 4 years. Why? You should try celebrating that a little bit. But then there's also accountability. You're just frauds that if somebody says something about your candidate, a guy who lied tens of thousands of times. His own words in the Bob Woodward conversation, not Woodward writing them, by the way, audio of him downplaying this. And then guess what? He gets plenty of credit. I've only said this 500 times, that Operation Warp Speed happened on his watch. It doesn't matter if they are there, but there is not a system to get them to us. And you really think Mike Osterholm, a world-renowned expert on this topic, whose only pursuit is to save people's lives, is going to lie that all these other doctors and all these other folks who are involved with this are lying? Because we know the Trump administration always had a system for everything. We call people out on this show. Doesn't have to be 50-50, because guess what? Some things are more. By the way, Jacob Fry on this show, 235. You doubt what I was saying about Jacob Fry? Go back and read my tweets the week of the Floyd riots. Where's Fry? Where's Walls? Had them on. Pointed direct interviews. We have now passed 400,000 people dying. Because so many of you frauds, oh, masks don't work. They died with COVID. Some buffoon on Twitter doubting masks. There's not a single study about it. By the way, I look back at this person's account. Of course, this person believes Sidney Powell is correct. So many of these same people are texting me today, told me that Donald Trump would still be president today. No, he got his ass kicked. And 20 people showed up to greet him yesterday, because he's leaving with the approval rating lowest of anybody. Can't we just listen to a brilliant doctor who's telling us that they're inheriting no system? Sure, Biden has talked about a system. And absolutely, this is why I asked it. At what point does it quickly move from Donald Trump left us nothing to then it's on Joe Biden? Because we'll move to that quickly on this show. Because it can't be, well, by the way, it couldn't be for all the Democrats that it was only Obama's economy over and over and over again. At some point, Donald Trump did deserve credit for parts of the economy which were flourishing, and there were many. But it's Walls. He's defending Walls. Dan, during a pandemic, people can't wear a mask. They can't believe doctors. And you wonder why I'm not hopeful for the country at this particular time.
I don't wonder. I understand where you were coming from yesterday when we talked about that. But yeah, there are always going to be. We're never going to eliminate this. It's just a matter of what percentage of the electorate is out there that's going to see things through their narrow lens and decide and filter everything through the ideology of, are you for me or against me? And we're not going to get anywhere doing that, but there's always going to be a segment that's going to do that for sure. And they love to text, apparently.
Now Chad's saying system instead of plan. Good job on moving the goalposts. What are you talking about? I'm talking about that there's no system in place from the Trump administration, and that, yes, Joe Biden talked about a plan, but when you're a candidate and when you're the president-elect, you can't put in a system. And also, let's not forget, for months and months, Donald Trump would not share information with the president-elect's team because he was pouting. Just at some point on the pandemic, can't you just come together? And can't you believe doctors, incredible people like that? It's sad. And and these folks are talking about unity. How about we come together and applaud doctors, whether no matter who they might have voted for? And then let's rely on epidemiologists, not on somebody who's on Fox who just echoes the words of the president. So he becomes a spokesperson with as much credibility as Dan has on winning the Masters.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.